So good morning.
Good morning.
There is one power, one presence, one infinite intelligence that flows through all creation. And I call this God, the living spirit almighty, one absolute, indestructible, and self-existent cause in which we live and move and have our being. And I say this every Sunday. I say it for a very good reason. Because it's true. It's not just true. It is what anchors us in these teachings, in this ultimate reality that is our very being. So today we are still in the month of September, and we are having our lesson today, our inspiration, our theme for September is inspiration. Our lesson for today is light bulb over your head. And as I walked up, as I was sitting in the back of the room and I was looking, I noticed one of the lights up here at the front were not on. And it kind of was it looked a little different. It looked a little shadier than usual. So when I came up and I turned on the light, I noticed the eyes going, whoa, the light came on. The light bulb not over, well, maybe over my head. It's kind of tall up there, that torchiere. But yeah, the light that reveals things to us. There's a story in the Bible about a widow who had a candle in her little hovel where she lived in biblical times, and she dropped her coin. And so she was trying to find this coin, but she needed to take the candle so that she could illuminate the space on the floor, in the corners, until she could actually find the coin. Now, that's a metaphor, of course. We need the inner light, the light that is within us, to reveal the treasures of the kingdom, to reveal the treasures that are within us. Now, today we're going to be talking about several things, but there's three key areas we're going to be talking about. One is that intuition and inspiration go hand in hand, and I'll explain that to you. Another is that light has an energy source. Light has an energy source. Notice I didn't say light is, I said light has. And the other is everyone is a student teacher. Okay, so these are the things we're gonna talk about. The first thing I want to talk about is intuition and inspiration. Now, intuition is that inner knowing, that direct knowing that we have. It's kind of how we know that we know. We don't know how we know, but we know. That's the intuition, the inner knowing, the inner tuition, the inner teachings. And what intuition is defined as being is that element that bridges the gap between the conscious and what they call the non-conscious parts of our mind. What I believe it is the conscious within the human mind and the infinite mind. There's an overlap and an interleaving and an inner awareness in each and every one of us, because we all think into the one mind. So when we are tapping into that which is greater than what we have learned in our lives, then we are intuiting. We are bridging that gap between instinct and reason, between what we think we know and what somehow is known to us that we didn't know we knew. Those are our memories from before we became human beings here on Earth. Because we know everything. The infinite spirit knows everything and is a part of us. Therefore, we have the opportunity to connect with that, to be aware of the one mind. And we can ask it questions. We can say, what is mind to do today? And boy, do we get a flood, just floodgates open up, and we are there with everything that is possible for us to do today. Most of it being very positive, or maybe being like chores, little things. But it's ours to do. We don't say, what is it possible for everyone in the world to do today? Because we're actually not the boss of everyone in the world. So we don't assign them their spiritual path. We don't assign them their daily chores, their daily tasks. We want to know, what's mine to do today? Intuition has its origins in Latin, of course, and the Latin word is intuere. Late in Middle English, it became intuitio, which in English became intuit. Now, what that meant way back then is still what it means today, but then we've had all of these other people say, oh, it means this, oh, it means that. It means bridging the gap between conscious and non-conscious parts of the mind. It means the inner knowing, the direct knowing. And in Middle English, it denoted spiritual insight or immediate spiritual communication. When we know that we know, that is the spiritual insight revealing it to us. That is our spiritual light bulb turning on in our awareness. Immediate spiritual communication. There were several stories that I read about this, and the one that touched me with humor and joy is the one where it said, well, it's sort of like when you walk up to somebody and you're going to say something, and what comes out of your mouth is nothing like what you thought you were going to say to them. It just kind of was like the words moved through you. You knew intuitively that these were the words to say. This is a spiritual insight that moved these words through your mouth. The reason that entertained me is because it happens all the time. All the time. We do it. We know people who do it. We will stand there and say something and go, wow, where'd that come from? It came, it moved through to be revealed in the environment where we were at the time. Now, inspiration, I've talked about this, is the inspiration, the breathing in of spirit. Breathing in of spirit. In Middle English, that was the divine guidance. Inspiration was divine guidance. It's called the process of being mentally stimulated. When we are inspired, we are mentally stimulated. It's a sudden, brilliant, creative, or timely idea that comes through you. Now, how many of you, when you have an inspiration, think that came from your brain? Think that came from your head? No. Inspiration comes from our inner nature. If it moves through any organ, it's actually moving through our heart. Moving through our heart, because that is the vessel that is our power plant, pumping heart. So when we have this great inspiration, it's like a revelation. It's not a thought process. We can't think ourselves to being inspired. We can think ourselves to taking action. But action and inspiration are two different things. Inspiration is also the divine influence that was believed to have led to the writing of the Bible. The inspired Word of God, all of the different writers telling their stories, telling the history of the Hebrew people, telling the stories and interpreting the parables of Jesus, the letters from the apostles to their followers, the New Testament, the new swearing, the new words being presented, and the Gospels. A lot of the Gospels didn't make it into the organized Bible. But we have the Gospels of Timothy, of Mary Magdalene. We have all these different Gospels that were the testimony of what was going on at the time. The inspired word moving through these people, documenting what was going on, documenting what they understood of the words of the Master Teacher Jesus. He said this, and in context, this is what it meant. Ask and ye shall receive. Doesn't mean go up to your next door neighbor, knock on the door and say, I want your house. No. In context, ask the divine. In faith, believing that you are already part of this, that the kingdom is already ours. And then whatever it is we are asking for shows up. And the things that we're asking for are more often than not the qualities of God. Sure, we may ask for a new car, but what is that? Abundance, prosperity. We may ask for a new house. What is that? Order, comfort, prosperity, clarity, that we would live there instead of in a hovel with a candle looking for a gold coin. So when we ask in faith, and we make a claim because we are naming it and claiming it. This is ours. The kingdom of heaven is ours. So whatever it is that we desire, that we seek, that which we seek comes to us. Ernest Holmes is the author of the Science of Mind textbook, and he is also the founder of the religious science movement. And he has a few things to say about the things I'm talking about. In the chapter he has on what the mystics have taught, he's talking about what goes on within the mind, within the body, within the physical. He says, intelligence in an animal which directs its actions and tells it where to go to find food and shelter, we call instinct. It is really omniscience in the animal. The same quality, more highly developed, makes a conscious appearance in man and is what we call intuition. Intuition is God in man revealing to him the realities of being, just as instinct guides the animal, so would intuition guide man, if he would allow it to do so. That inner knowing guides us when we allow it to do so. So why would we not allow it to do so? Oh, I don't know. Ego, thinking we know better, stubbornness, recalcitrance. My mother told me to do it, therefore I'm never going to do that because mom told me to do it. But if the next door neighbor's mom tells me to do it, oh, wow, what a great idea. I experienced that growing up. I experienced that with my kids growing up. See, tell them the same thing over and over and over and over and over, and it's like there's peanut butter in their ears. They go to the neighbor's house. The neighbor's mom says that. Their kids do that. All of a sudden, your kids do it, but only at the neighbor's house. Reverend Joan Steadman, I met her in Albuquerque at one of our gatherings, and she is a minister. She started out at Agape. And she has something wonderful to say. It's in the Science of Mind magazine, Daily Guides to Richer Living. She says, God is my life. God's mind is my mind. We all know that. We say that all the time. She's putting it in writing for us to read it yet again, like somebody else's mom telling us, so that we will listen. God is my life. God's mind is my mind. Infinite intelligence is who and what I am. In the midst of any circumstance or challenge, I listen to the intuition of my soul. Divine guidance, inspiration, clarity, and insight are readily revealed. How good it is to know, and to know that I know. How good it is to know, and to know that I know. So our intuition and our inspiration work hand in hand to bring us to where we need to be and to give us inspiration as to how to be in that space. An artist has a blank canvas. So standing in front of a blank canvas with paints, he's where he needs to be. He intuited that he needed to get to wherever this place is. There he is. And then it is the inspiration, the divine influence that leads him to choose the colors, to place them on the canvas, to create that which is in his heart to create, that which is his to do on that day. He's divinely inspired. And with the inner knowing, he knows that this is who he is and how he is. And this serves to help make the world a greater place, a better place, because this is the revelation of divine moving through and as this artist. I said we're going to talk about light has an energy source. Now, the reason I emphasize has is because we also know that light is an energy source. But when we talk about the light bulb over our head and these light bulbs here in the room, we know that the lights need a source of energy to be activated. These are electrical lights. They need light bulbs, they need electrical lamps, they need wall plugs to get into the outlet that connects to the electricity that goes on its unique path to the power plant. So these light bulbs, these tools that we have, they need a source of energy. Now the intuition, the light bulb over our head, we have an infinite source of energy that is always active, and that is the inner knowing. That is the divine. That is that light within that is only waiting for us to open our eyes. If I drive down the road with my hands over my eyes like this, I'm not very much in control of my life or my car, and I can run into all kinds of problems. A simple one would be trying to tune my radio You know, if I can't see my radio, I can't see what station I'm tuning it to. So I'm going to be listening to whatever shows up instead of choosing to have music that inspires me or brings me joy, or a talk radio where they're talking about all the UFOs that landed last week, or, you know, whatever. But it's my choice, where if I am covering my eyes, if I am refusing to see, refusing to allow my inspiration and my intuition to move through me, I'm going to run into problems. And trees and other cars. Drive off a cliff. You know, all those things that happen in people's life when they just aren't paying attention. But we always have the source, that inner knowing, that divine source, that spiritual presence, the infinite intelligence that flows through all creation. When we are open to our source, we receive immediate illumination. Just like when we turn on the switch and the light, if everything is aligned physically properly, the light bulb comes on. We can turn it off, it goes off. We can never turn off the source of our inner divinity, because everything is the inner divinity. We are the inspiration of the divine. We are the activity of God expressing. So when we open ourselves to that inner source, everything is available to us. It's like we are the living light bulb that we think of as being over our head. We are the illumination. We are the radiance. And with that much power, if we held a light bulb over our head, it would glow too. When the student is ready, the teacher will appear. When the student is ready, the teacher will appear. I can get into all the philosophy about what is a student, what is a teacher. But basically, when it is our time that we have opened up our inner self in some manner, when we are seeking, then when we are ready to receive more information, more illumination, more awareness of that which we are seeking, even if we don't know what it is we're seeking, that is when we are called, pushed, pulled, when something changes in our life, someone shows up in our life, or we read the same thing for the 100th time and finally it means something new. It means something new. When you say God is all there is, okay, fine. I've said that how many thousands of times? And then the one time that it goes, wow, God, the infinite spirit, it's everything. It's all that there is. Wow. Yeah. When I'm seeking, when any of us are seeking, we are opening ourselves up to receive that which we are seeking. But there's timing. Timing is always an issue because we have our lives going on. So we need to prioritize that which we are seeking, because it may be all around us already and we just didn't notice. So students and teachers, let's go with school year, just a regular school year. When school starts, well, it used to always start in September. Now they backed it up and it started in August. I think it's because they put in extra holidays somewhere. So they have a certain number of days that people have to go to school, children have to go to school, in order to get government funding. And so they go to school these number of days, and it starts last half of August, early September. When kids are little, most of them want to go to school like the big kids. Because the big kids get out and they go to school and they do all these things. And the little kids go, oh, I want to go. And that is in a good scenario. That is where school is looked at as something that is good. That is an opportunity. So when the new school year comes, the kids are excited. They get new school clothes. They get to see their friends. And when they come home from school, we say, what did you learn today? And that fosters within them that inner knowing that they are learning new things all the time. As they get older and into junior high and high school, school becomes a social construct. And it's not so much about what's going on in the classes, what they're learning, but what they are being given so that they can complete the test at the end of the course. There aren't enough teachers that still tell the stories in the history class, the stories of the people, the stories of Genghis Khan, the stories of Julius Caesar, the stories of George Washington, the stories of John Adams, these different stories, Paul Revere. There are complete stories to all of these people, and the stories make history alive. And they learn, the students learn, and they inspire. What we're teaching them is, this war occurred from this time to this time, and it involved these states and nations, and the general outcome was this bullet point. This war was this to this to this to this. This war was this to this to this to this. Almost as an afterthought, it's like the cotton gin was invented. And it changed all these lives. But do we tell them about how the lives were changed, or do we just say, Eli Whitney invented the cotton gin and it changed the way farming was done? Do we tell them about factories and how the factories evolved to get the women out of the home? Because there were no more guilds and all these things were being automated, so the people had to leave their homes to do what they used to do at home, and it became structured without inspiration, without creativity. And there was such a focus on production that we let go of looking at who was doing the producing. And that this changed villages, communities, it changed everything. And it changed the way we treated humanity. Is that being taught? No. No. And so by saying manufacturers are greedy, we're missing the point. We're missing the point of the social changes that took place. So in the later years, we're not teaching our kids what they need to know to live well. And they know it. And that's why there's so much resentment. I don't want to go to school. Why should I bother? They're not going to teach me anything new. Yeah, my son. He would come home with homework, and he would do just enough of his homework to show that he understood the concept, and then he'd leave off the rest. And his teacher would call me and say, well, he can't do that. And I said, well, let me explain to you how your homework assignment is not serving my son. And it's okay to disagree. We can agree to disagree. But he's shown you that he knows how to do this. In his mind, it's, so why should I waste my time doing 20 more of these? I got soccer practice. So, you know, no judgment on my parenting skills here, please. As adults, having gone through this, you're wasting my time teaching me stuff I'm never going to use, or I can look it up on the internet if I really care. As adults, are we still seeking opportunities to learn? Are we still seeking? Do we even know that that's what we're seeking? Because we all are seeking something. Even if it's just peace of mind for 5 minutes. When we are actively seeking, people have a tendency to take classes, go to seminars, read books, all because they are seeking, whether they know what they're seeking or not. And that is why we attend this spiritual center. It's why everyone attends some spiritual center, some place that gives them a glimpse, or that they hope will give them a glimpse of something greater than their regular old daily life. We come to this spiritual center because we are seeking more. We are seeking deeper. We are being called deeper. We are wanting that light bulb over our head to suddenly be bright and shiny, not realizing that it already is bright and shiny within us. We just didn't know it yet. We listen to the podcasts because we're seeking. We attend classes because we're seeking. And the benefit of classes is that we are around like-minded people. We are being afforded tuition. We are having that inner knowing, that direct knowing, awakened within us. It's already there. We already have access to everything there is to know. But we are being guided through this process to remember that which we forgot when we came into these physical bodies. And we can access that inner knowing through the classroom experience. We have facilitators of our classes. Some people call them teachers. We say, you know, we've got the education department. We've got this, we've got that. But we are facilitators. We are the guides, helping the students, helping the attendees see the truth for themselves. We are not shoving things into their head and saying, memorize this. We are saying, look at this. What do you think? How would this work in your life? Does this ring that chord of inner truth? We are facilitating their awakening to who they truly are. This is a wonderful little book by Ernest Holmes. It's called Discover a Richer Life. I want to read something to you from it. All creation, in my estimation, exists as the expression of God, a self-expression of the infinite. The articulation of that which needs instrumentality for its own identity. Therefore, only as you and I, with wonder, reverence, and enthusiasm, identify ourselves with the living spirit, can we hope that the living spirit, through this instrumentality, shall shape the course of our existence and sing the song of eternity in us. Identified with divine givingness, the human surrendering itself to intuition shall speak the language of eternity. He goes on to say, this is the greatest revelation we can have. Find one man or woman or child who has become acquainted with the divine presence, and you will learn more from him than from all the books you can ever read. There is an integrity beyond ours. There is an imagination beyond ours. There is a feeling deeper than ours, and yet we are akin to it. Who listens closely to his own spirit shall hear a song no other person can sing. Let me repeat that. Who listens closely to his own spirit shall hear a song no other person can sing. Who listens to the harmony of his own being, though he be in the desert or on the mountaintop alone, shall compose a symphony which no instrument can be attuned to, for it can be played only on the harp strings of his own heart, his own mind. Great harmony can only be played on the harp strings of our own mind. Our instrumentality is this body, this humanity in which we are moving and in which the divine lives and moves and has its being. The divine has its being through the instrument of each and every one of us. So I invite you to affirm with me by placing your hand over your heart and repeating, today, I know that there is divine wisdom as me.
I know that there is divine wisdom as me.
I know I am divinely inspired. By the revelations of this inner knowing. By the revelations of this inner knowing.
By the revelations of this inner knowing.
Divine Source is who I am.
Divine Source is who I am.
And I receive all which I seek. And so it is.
And so it is.
And so take a breath. That's a deep one. It's a deep affirmation. Deep truth revealed as who you are. The instrumentality of the divine, the recipient of all that is the kingdom. And all the answers that you seek are already there. I was writing my lesson and something came to me and I wrote it down. I had this image of the sun rising and the dawn and how it kind of creeps across and lightens things up and changes the colors and reveals the layout of the land. And what I wrote was, like dawn spreads over the land, the light of inspiration moves through life, revealing what had been obscured. Like dawn spreads over the land, the light of inspiration moves through life, revealing what had been obscured. And so I thank you for your time, for being here, for being open to receive this message that was unique to you. Each one here said what needed to be said and heard what needed to be heard on their own path. And so I thank you. Namaste.